Let's pray to get started there this morning. We're thankful, Father, for the love we have from you. You've shown us throughout the years for your death on Calvary and forgiveness of sins. We're so thankful for the blessings of this day. Father, we're so thankful for the book of Esther and what you're teaching us. We trust, Father, that you would help each one of us to open our hearts to the message that you have for us. Give me the words to say. Lord, help the Holy Spirit to guide each thought this morning. Blessing our service to follow as well. Lord, thank you for each one that's here this morning. In thy name we ask it. Amen. We've been talking about the Amalekites. And why have we been talking about the Amalekites? Y'all don't remember, probably. Thankfully, I have my notes, so I remember, okay? Because of Haman, okay? But who was the great-grandfather of Amalek? Y'all like history, don't you? I have to dig. When I get into things, I have to dig and find out why did that get named that, or where did that come from, and so on. And you have to dig into Scripture, but it's there. It's there in Scripture. The great-grandfather of Amalek was none other than Esau. I'm sure you're familiar with Esau. Jacob and Esau took different directions, okay? Two sons that took different directions. And we've all probably been experienced in families where kids can grow up in the same family, but they don't follow exactly the same path, okay? Not always the one that we might want, but... And Esau was the father of what nationality? Nation. Have you ever read about the Edomites? Esau is Edom, okay? By Scripture. That's out of Scripture. But, you know, maybe you don't want to remember these kind of things, but it's interesting to see where all these came from. And what did we say about the Amalekite nation? I got a class that needs to be stimulated this morning, so we're not going to try to stimulate. What the father of the Amalekites was Esau, and Haman, if Saul had followed the Lord's prescription, what he was told by the prophet, to go kill all the Amalekites, there wouldn't have been a Haman. So God takes people that are out of the will of God and uses them in ministry. We can't see what's happening in the world today from the top side, but the Lord can. And the providence of God, just like in the book of Esther, the book of Ruth that we've studied, the providence of God is prevalent throughout the book, and we'll begin to see that. Okay, even though Saul did not kill the Amalekites, God chose to take care of his people. Even the ones who disobeyed and didn't go back to Israel, back to Palestine, when they were told that they could go back, they stayed there in Persia. And even that is the providence of God, because if that didn't happen in God's plan, he couldn't have saved the Jewish nation. So God can see those kind of things that we can't see. Read a few verses here in chapter 2 before we get started here this morning. And recall back to chapter 1, because he says, opening chapter 2, he says, after these things, basically all that story of Vashti being put aside and looking for a new queen. After these things, he says, when the wrath of the king Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what he had done and what was decreed against her. And I think what that's saying is that he had remorse for what he had done when he was mad. And when maybe he could even perceive that when he was drunk, okay, as we read about in the first chapter. Then the king's servants that ministered unto him said, let there be the young virgin brought to the king, and let the king appoint officers to be over the kingdom, provinces over the kingdom. Remember, there are 127 provinces here, and change places with these things to get it up here. Let the king appoint officers of the provinces of the kingdom, verse 3, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto the kingdom in the palace, to the house of the women unto the custody of the Hegi. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation. And the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, let these things for purification be given to them. You know, and as I think about that, I don't know if these were willing participants or not, but apparently they didn't have much choice if they were chosen. They were brought into the house for the king. And let the maiden which pleases the king be seen instead of Vashti. And the king pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan, the palace was a certain Jew, which was named Mordecai, the son of Jair and the son of Shimei. And remember, in the Arabic countries, nations, it was always a son of. If you ever see, well, the most famous is Osama bin Laden, okay? That means son of Laden. So they named them, and they always put the family history in the name itself. So bin means of. Now in the Shushan battle, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjaminite. How do we know Kish? Saul. Way back when. Who had been carried away from Jerusalem with captivity, which had been with Jeconiah, king of Judah, when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried them away. Now, remember what we said. Esther's parents were killed by Nebuchadnezzar. And she was carried away, and she actually was born in Persia. So she took on a lot of the characteristics of the Persian young ladies, so people didn't know that she was a Jew at the time. And no one, they haven't declared that yet. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for he had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. And so it came to pass, when the king's commandment and the decree was heard, and many maidens were gathered together in Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Hegai. Two different names there, Hegi and Hegai. They're the same person, I believe. That Esther was thought brought into the king's house to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women. Do you think it's interesting that they make a man keeper of the women? I don't know. It's really seemed a little strange to me. So moving on down to verse 10. Esther had not showed or made nor her kindred, for Mordecai had changed her, that she, charged her that she should not show the fact that she was a Jew. Show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house. He knew that Esther did, and that she should be, and what would become of her. So if it weren't for Mordecai and if it weren't for Esther being there, God could not have performed that. As we look here, there was a chamberlain and the keeper of the women, Hegai. There was a replacement to be chosen by beauty, not by love or ability. So God placed Mordecai in a place, a Benjaminite, in the right place. Hadassah, Arian, her Arian name, may have passed as a native. So as I was thinking about that, in this chapter, In this chapter, they had the absurd practices that in order to, the king didn't go out and pick a wife. They brought a whole bunch of people before them. Did any of your marriages work that way? I don't know. Mine didn't. Okay. Oh, you know, the funny thing is, as I told you before, I would not have met Linda if it weren't for my sister. Okay. My younger sister brought some nurses home from college, and Linda was in the second group. So that's kind of the way it worked. But anyway, so in this culture, men showed a lot of lust for beautiful women, simply put. And so they had a place that they kept a woman, and later on in the slides, I'll show you a picture of what it looked like when Linda and I were over there at the palace. And we saw that section and where the women were kept. And it was a nice place. Don't get me wrong. It was a nice place where they were kept. So the queen was to be chosen not out of love, but out of beauty. So, as I said last week, they had a Miss America pageant, I guess. You might call it that. And but God had placed Mordecai in the right place at the right time. You know what? He placed you and I here at the right time for a purpose. And we need to understand what that purpose is. And that's what we're learning. The providence of God, when we look at the book of Esther in the canon of Scripture, it's put here for a reason. And I'm going to get to some practical examples of how we have applied this scripture as we've taken a look at it. The Persians themselves had no contempt for the Jewish nation, but Persians were Persians and Jews were Jews. And if they couldn't tell the difference, it didn't matter to them at all. So she may have looked more like a Persian lady than anything else. And so we have the king's cabinet, in this case, his group of men, to establish this Miss America pageant so that he could see all these beautiful women that were to come forth. And the king was the sole judge in this whole thing. He would decide. Now, back to the story. Mordecai was out of God's will. Esther was out of God's will. In this pagan culture, and Mordecai was working as a political figure in this culture. He was sitting at the gate as a judge, part of the Supreme Court, I guess. I don't know what it was called, if it was called that back then. But it was probably similar to what Joseph did in Egypt and what Daniel did. They were advisors of the king, and they all got promoted to key positions. When Daniel was in Babylon, I was, as I told Pastor, I was reading Revelation, and what happened to Babylon in the end? Okay, it's gone. It's gone in the end. So when I came across it and I was looking through history and some of the reading, I found this poem that says, "Lend a Hand" by a person named Edward Everett Hale. Listen to this. "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something I can do." We may be old and feeble, but God still has a purpose for us. And we need to understand what we can do and do it. That's what that poem is saying. So even these people were out of the will of God. And think about what happened to Esther. When Mordecai said, "You got to go to the king," she said, "Oh, hold on a minute. Okay. You can't just visit the king when you want to." Isn't it great that we can come to God whenever we want to and speak to him? Come before the throne of grace, Hebrews chapter 4. And it's great. And if we look ahead, we'll look ahead to chapter 4 and verse 14 if you want to. But it says here in chapter 4 and verse 14, we'll talk about it when we get to chapter 4. But if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then, and he's talking to Esther at this point, okay? Mordecai is, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom? And back to the poem, it says, for such a time as this. I don't know about y'all, if I can use an expression from the South. In the North, we never had you all. That was a different, different up north. That was you all. But y'all. Anyway, we do not know why God has put us here, so we have to pay attention to what God tells us through the Holy Spirit as we read Scripture. And say, God, show me the way. Give me the light in the path. So focus on that last phrase in chapter 4, verse 14. For such a time as this. Are we in peculiar times? We are. We are. But through the providence of God, it's His will that's what's happening. People think they're in control. They're not. They're not. God is in control. So anyway, since we know that we're here by the providence of God, we better try to accomplish the will of God. And that's what Mordecai was telling Esther. Do you understand? You're a Jew. His decree says kill all Jews. That's what Haman got the king to write. And Haman was a, what is the right word? Manipulator. Okay. He manipulated the king into thinking it was his idea, and it didn't work. So Mordecai had Esther, and he put her forth. He took her as a daughter first. Some say cousin, but I think it's daughter. Okay, that's my opinion. You can think what you like. But anyway, he took her in and took care of her. If we go back... I wish someday I could go with Phil to Israel, but I haven't been yet. When I was working, I couldn't go to Israel. How's that? Because my passport had Arabian countries in it. So I'd had to get a different passport. But now I can, and I hope I can. Anyway, if we went back to Israel today, you would find a hospital named after Esther, Hadassah. Okay, wait, in the country. Anyway, Mordecai was there to protect Esther, and he saw that Esther was considered as one of these virgins to go forth. Esther, verse 10, that we read just a minute ago, did not show her heritage as yet. I looked in Ancestry.com. You know the background of Ancestry.com? Have you ever used it? Anybody ever used it? They have a lot of good history in there, but it came from the Mormons, okay? They have a great history, heritage history in the Mormon culture because that's important to them. You probably know that a Mormon cannot marry a non-Mormon. It's not possible. That's not in their possibility. Otherwise, I have a friend who wanted to marry a young lady, and she was Mormon, and he had to convert to Mormonism to marry her. Sad. Sad. Anyway, even so, God used these people even though they were out of the will of God. These were not accidents. They were part of His plan. Nothing that happens to us is an accident in God's plan. We need to understand and try to understand what the will of God is for our lives. You know, I can't determine the will of God for you or any of you, but I can determine the will of God for my life. Okay? I can say, study Scripture. You determine what the will of God is by studying Scripture. So, listen, you know, when we talk about the beauty of this thing, the beauty pageant that was in this situation, as America gets farther and farther away from God, more beauty aids pop up. Salons pop up. I can remember when I was growing up, my grandmothers did not use makeup or go to a salon. They did their own. That's not necessarily true today, and I'm not suggesting one should do one way or the other, but the point is that it seems like we think we need to do things to our bodies as we get further and further away from God. And so we need to get back to God. So Esther has taken this risk, and she doesn't know if the king, the way it reads in Scripture, the king, if he sees somebody in the court, he has to hold out his scepter, and if he doesn't, he can say, off with their heads, gone. That was characteristic. I mean, we'll see later on. The king has that kind of authority. I'm going to jump on down to verse 15 in chapter 2, and let's look at that for a minute. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in under the king, she required nothing. Listen to this. She required nothing but that Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. She required nothing to get ready to go to the king. So her beauty was natural. Who did that? God. God prepared her in that way. Because, as we'll read, these people were in a purification process. Maybe you ladies can relate to this. I can't. Okay, in a purification process for 1 year before they went before the king. Esther required nothing. I had a preacher friend who said, I'm not going to speak to you about using makeup or beautification or anything. I'm going to just tell you if the barn needs painting, paint it. I'm just quoting. I'm not quoting. But so if we spend a lot of time doing that kind of stuff, like I said, I'm not going to be critical or not of either. It's what God leads us to do. But Esther required nothing. So, but he made sure she was considered at all in verse 15. So, but there was a risk for Esther going in there, because if he didn't hold out the scepter, what would happen? Let's think. What would happen to Esther if he didn't hold out the scepter and she couldn't go before? If he denied her that, she would have become one of his concubines forever. And the only guy I know that can handle all those is Solomon. What do you have? 300 wives and 700 concubines. Okay, I don't understand all that. But now Esther, that's how Esther handled it. She went in there knowing that there was risk to what she was trying to do. See if I can make this thing work. Ooh, look at that. So as I said, they established a Miss America pageant. Can't make this to work now. Oh, there we go. Anyway, Mordecai was a political figure in the palace, as we talked. Esther's parents had been slain by Nebuchadnezzar. God can use Esther's beauty, and he did. If she does not win, she becomes the king's concubine, as I said. She wanted no beauty age, and the king loved her above all the women. Now, I put this little picture in here. When we were in Istanbul at the palace, this little boy all dressed up like that, that's our the guy that was explaining it to us, and this little boy was standing off the side, and he invited the boy over. The boy didn't speak English. He spoke only Arabic. And he invited him over, and he explained to us, he thinks he's going to be in the line for kingship. And actually, what's going to happen, he was 8 years old, he was going to be circumcised. That's what he was headed. That's why he was all dressed up like that. So they didn't do it like Scripture after 8 days when Christ was circumcised. It was 8 years. But so he learned his lesson, I suppose, that day, later on. So what happened in verse 17? In verse 17, and the king loved Esther above all the women. Now, when you see a woman, is love the first thought? Maybe, I don't know, but it was for him, apparently. So he just met this woman and said he loved her above all the women. And she continued, and she obtained grace and favor in the sight of more than all the other virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Can you see the providence of God working here? Providence of God is working in this life, because she required nothing. She went before with all her beauty. You saw the picture of Esther. I got that out of the history books that I was reading, that picture of Esther. I guess she might have looked like that, certainly. But nonetheless, the king loved Esther above all the women. I don't know if he understood what the word love meant, okay? Why would you have all these women in waiting? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Certainly that's not something that, well, I was going to say happens in our country, but I don't know that it happens. It may. It may happen in our country. So it would have been difficult for, if we didn't think about God's providence, it would have been difficult for us to understand how a girl, a captive girl from the Jewish nation, became the queen of the greatest Gentile nation around. What does God's word say to Jewish women? Do not marry a Gentile. Do not marry a Gentile. So she was going out of the will, but that's God's plan to save the Jews. Save the Jews. God's people do so many things out of his will, but listen to this. His will overrule. So today, what's happening? God's providence is still in place. And we may pray that this or that will happen, but if that's not God's will, he knows what's best. He knows what's best. And we need to pray then, that since God's will wins out, okay, we need to pray that God's will be accomplished through us. Anyway, back to the feast. The king was the king in verse 18. So we get back on track here. Verse 18. Then the king made a great feast unto all the princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. Remember, she had they made a feast for the women too, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. Well, that's what our government is doing now, giving out gifts, aren't they? Well, I don't know if the gifts are getting to the right people. That's not what I'm saying. But the point is that he had a feast, and he honored these people, and still Esther has not revealed herself as a Jew. Mordecai, though, was still doing his part in the providence of God, and he sat in the gate listening. And what did he hear? Verse 21. Go to verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. What were they planning? They were planning a coup d'etat. They were planning a takeover of the government. Believe it or not, back in those days, the king did things like 180-day feasts, and he didn't pay any attention to the people. He just had a feast. So these people got mad, and they started to try to overthrow them. Well, who was sitting there? Mordecai in the gate. Why was he there? Because God put him there. God put him there at the right time so that he could help the people. Oop, wrong one. Esther and Mordecai were out of God's will, but God was using them to accomplish it. Mordecai overheard the plot and passed it to Esther and said, Esther, you got to go tell the king. Well, as you know, we'll see that. She objected the first time, and she said, I can't do that. When she did do it, as I said, there was justice a little bit back in those days. What did the king say? The king said, hang them. And he did, the two of them, just like that. No court battles, no lawyers, no anything. The king had the capability of doing that. And he did it. They're hanged, and it's over with. But Mordecai, who through Esther brought it to the king, was not rewarded at this time. We'll see how that plays into the pattern a little bit later on. The providence of God was still working, and Mordecai needed to be patient in God's plan, as did Esther. In today's world, people have trouble believing in the beginning God created heavens and the earth. Did he know that Jupiter and Saturn were going to be that close together just a few days ago? Sure he did, a long time ago. He created those orbits. People can't understand that, okay? When people went to the moon, did God know that was going to happen? Yes, he did. God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And today, he is still in control of all that. In the end, when he put Satan in the bottomless pit, he knew that was going to happen. He knew that a third of the angels were going to rebel. And they did. So what we need to be careful with is that Satan is very deceptive. Have you all seen the videos of the Left Behind series? You may have read the book. There are 13 books, I think, in the whole series with Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. Well, because we were going to watch a video here Wednesday night, okay, I decided, well, I'm going to watch a video at home instead. And I watched they made three videos of the Left Behind series based on the book. And so I watched them. What God is going to do after Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the earth is going to be destroyed. I don't happen to agree with some of Tim LaHaye's opinions about there being a second chance, but nonetheless, it's a good video, and there are a lot of good things about it too, in the preaching. But nonetheless, God is going to be in control of everything. He's in control of this situation as well. God has not taken his hand off creation. God has not taken his hand off you and I. And we need to understand, we as Christians, Mordecai had to guide Esther through the second time. He had to guide her, I can't do this. Her first answer was, I can't do this. I'll be killed. But Mordecai said, look, you're a Jew too. Guess what? No matter what, you're going to be killed if you don't do this. So I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. But he used them as tools to accomplish his plan. And the Jewish nation, even though they were out of the will of God, God took care of them, and he knew it was going to happen. So I don't know if we'll get very far with this one or not, but we'll try. Oops, wrong guy. Well, it works sometimes, John. Oop, I went the wrong way. In this, the story of Esther, just a few minutes here, the king promoted Haman and Amalekite, William. He became the prime minister and had control over everything. The king listened to him. He had this ring. The king had a ring, and he gave the ring to Haman to use. But he was certainly the villain in the story, okay? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, you all can go back and read that, okay? Verse 3 says, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have." Listen to that. Utterly destroy all that they have. All. That's a key word. "And spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." What did Saul do? He kept some of those things. And one of the things caused Haman to exist. So you're going to go read the rest of that story if you want to a little bit later. But follow God's plan and know Haman. Do we all feel that if we follow God's plan, the blessings are there? Amen. The blessings are there. Listen, Malachi 3:10. Bring our tithes into the storehouse, okay? The point is that God will bless beyond measure if we follow his plan. And that's, you know, even though these people did not do that, he still took care of them. So Mordecai chose not to bow to Haman. Remember the gate. The rule says, he wrote that rule, the decree Haman did, that said everybody needs to bow down to me. Well, what's wrong with that characteristic? What's wrong with that characteristic? Why are you, do you feel so small that everybody has to bow down to you? Otherwise, they won't recognize you as power, as responsibility to the king. So if Saul had done what he was supposed to do, there would be no Haman. But this is included in the canon of Scripture, and what we need to learn from it is sometimes we need to do the things that are not pleasant, if you will, because that's God's plan. So the real villain is Haman in the story. God had to work behind the scenes. Though Mordecai was out of the will of God, he still obeyed God's law. Haman then sought to destroy the Jews. Why? Because one guy would not bow down to him. One guy would not bow down to him. You'll be interested to see how Haman's wife works into this story. Very important, as we'll see a little bit later. But God's law still applies in this situation. Esther 3 and verse 2 says everybody should bow down. And Haman's position was that of a judge in the gate. And he would refuse to bow down to Haman. So as we move on then, when asked why he did not bow down, verse 4 of chapter 3 says, "Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. So now Mordecai's explained he's a Jew. They know associated with Esther, so now Esther is somewhat exposed, and we'll see what happens there. Because he had told Esther not to let him know that he was a Jew, but the proverbial cat is out of the bag at this point, and we must have, and she must. Mordecai must have known that this could cost him his job in the gate, but since he was protecting the Jewish people, he wanted Esther to go to the king and say, look what Haman has done. And so Esther has a very devious, if you will, plan, a matter of three feasts, and we'll see what that does. And so instead of going in and saying, and we'll probably have to stop here, but instead of going in and saying to the king, look, Haman is bad, you got to understand that, she went into him and said, look, let's butter up Haman a little bit first, okay? Let's have a feast that honors Haman and the king. I'll set up the feast and make it happen. Haman was such a little man, she knew that he would consider this to be something that would honor him. And later on, we'll see that when he recognizes what he has to do for Mordecai, we'll see that he goes home and cries on his wife's shoulder. And what does she tell him to do? Sorry, you're done. We'll start from this place next week. But, you know, I just want, the point is that the reason Esther is here is so that we'll see that God is still working in our lives as he is working in these lives, even if we sometimes make a wrong turn. Even if we make a wrong turn, the providence of God still works. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we can spend this time in your word. We're so thankful that you love us so much, that you've taken care of us in every way. And just as we see this picture of in the book of Esther, we see the picture of how your providence is working, no matter if we're out of your will sometimes. We trust, Father, that you would help us to listen to the morning service, listen to the message that comes to us, listen to the music, and apply it to our own situation. We love you, Lord, and ask you to guide us through the day's activities. In thy name we ask it. Amen.